Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Nick Augustine, and I'm here with attorney Michael Fabia from the Illinois Professional Licensing Consultants, and he's of counsel to the Chicago Health Law and Litigation Firm of Michael B. Fabia and Associates in Chicago. The Illinois Professional Licensing Consultants is a group of highly experienced attorneys and investigators who represent and defend licensed professionals. The licensing consultants interviewed in this monthly program previously worked for the Illinois Department of Professional Regulation and will represent and or defend licensed professionals in cases involving the Illinois Department. Are located outside of the state of Illinois, the Illinois Professional Licensing Consultants may also help you with their active of counsel relationships with a few major law firms with offices located in several states. So please reach out for assistance even if you are not located in the state of Illinois. For more information about the group, the Illinois Professional Licensing Consultants, you may visit their website, www.il-licensing.com. You can also find them on Facebook at facebook.com/Illinois Professional Licensing Consultant Attorneys. And finally, on Twitter, twitter.com/licensing_ATTYS. Today's program is Nursing and Drug Abuse and Addiction and Licensing Issues with attorney Michael V. Fabia. Some of the topics and questions we're going to cover on our 30-minute program today, we'll introduce Mr. Fabia, then we'll talk about potentially increased cases and reports of problems involving drugs and addiction in nursing, types of backgrounds and behaviors that seem to open the gate to drug abuse problems in nursing, and then what happens if people do not ask for help in compounding a problem, at what point is someone's career salvageable. We'll talk about liability for nurses that may also extend to the hospital administration and how they can best prepare to handle notice or knowledge of a nurse's suspected of having a drug abuse problem. And then we'll talk about what should a licensed nurse do if they receive an inquiry from the state, as well as at what point does a nurse have a duty to self-report or make a report on a colleague, and if nurses have multiple state licenses, how can this compound discipline concerns? So good program today, and I'm going to start out, before we say hi to Mr. Fabia, I'm going to direct our listeners to an interesting blog article that the firm Michael V. Fabia and Associates published directly on point, and that is available on the Facebook page, as I mentioned, and for Michael V. Fabia and Associates, I believe it was published on May 1st. Article is called Drug Addiction in a Nursing Career and Being Protective Can Save Your Career. And some of the highlights of that article, one of the things that was mentioned, the signs of drug diversion, moving legitimate drugs to channels of illicit use. Again, these are licensed professionals who have access to narcotics. So some of the things can be arriving early or staying late or coming to work on scheduled days off. Excessive wasting of drugs, regularly signing out large quantities of controlled drugs, volunteering often to give medication to other nurses' patients, taking frequent bathroom breaks, patients reporting unrelieved pain despite adequate prescription of pain medications, discrepancies in documentation of controlled substance administration. Another would be medications being signed out for patients who have been discharged or transferred, or who are off the unit for procedures or tests. So again, there's all sorts of information in this blog article that you may find on the Facebook page for the firm that was shared out yesterday as a repeat. But as a general topic, we see that there is a rise, especially in opiate and pain meds among certain industries, including nursing. So I just wanted to go ahead and, I guess, introduce Mike Fabia and get rolling on this. So, Mike, how are you doing today?
Yes. Hi, Nick. How are you today? Fine.
I am well. Let's, as I led into this with a few of the opportunities, I suppose, that people who do work in the industry of nursing may have access to narcotics and drugs and can get themselves in trouble. your interest is on the licensing end. So talk a little bit, please, about just a general introduction for those who have not listened to the program before, of your background and how we came to be talking about these issues today.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. So I was the chief attorney for the Illinois Department of Professional Regulations, where we regulated nursing as well as other professionals in the health field. And in my role there, I worked with the Nursing Licensing Board in dealing with nurse addiction problem. It's been a problem for many, many years, has been and continues to be. And, you know, although they have sympathy, they also have an obligation to the public and to the state to make sure that, you know, nurses that are problematic, that have addiction problems, are not practicing and causing any potential harm to patients or themselves. So I left the department, and I still had that same thought and mission to help nurses who have impairment problems. So I currently represent a lot of medical and health professionals in respect to addiction issues, trying to get them through the process. I mean, once, you know, there's an addiction issue, there's different courses of action they could try to get resolved. You know, it is a sickness, an illness, so it needs help. Most people need help to deal with it. And I try to help them through the process. But ultimately, you know, my purpose or goal is to keep their license, help them keep their license, because that's my background. So in general, that's where I all fit here.
Mm-hmm. So not punitive necessarily. So many people see anything involving a department of anything. although you were a chief prosecutor there, you know both sides of the spectrum and how the system really works. So that's our focus. Again, as you pointed out, it is a lot of drug abuse and addiction, our research and studies and things that we've learned over the past several decades, that these are diseases, and it's people, you know, good people who have run into difficult problems. In many professions, you hear about an increase in drug use and abuse, and sometimes it's just people trying to stay awake and get their work done and turn to amphetamines or different narcotics, you know, and pain meds, a lot of these things. The stories that we see and we read, quite innocent people who quite inadvertently get caught up in some of these. So I just wanted to ask you what you've noticed with the increase in cases or reports of problems involving drugs and addiction and nursing. And I guess my question stems from a general notion that as a healthcare consumer culture, we are prescribing more and more medications now than we ever have in past years.
Yeah, so that's a good point, Nick. And also the fact that, you know, all the hospitals and other entities that hire nurses or use nurses in employment purposes have put more pressure on nurses to get things done with less staff. You know, everybody's cutting corners, trying to fulfill their obligations to the public and the community while trying to keep costs down. And oftentimes what they end up doing is double up on the nurses, and they, you know, working more hours than maybe they should, and maybe not having enough nurses to adequately deal with, you know, patient load. And so it causes additional stress. And that, I think, is one of the reasons I see a little increase in the number of addiction issues with nurses. You also raised a couple points, too. You know, a nurse, a practicing nurse in a nursing home setting, or even a hospital setting where they have to move patients around, sometimes do hurt their backs or do injure themselves slightly, and they have access to pain medication, and, you know, they maybe the first or second time they do it, it's innocent enough, even though they're not supposed to, and, you know, they'll divert, well, the patient refused to take his medicine today, I'll take one, it'll help my back. And the addiction starts, and then, you know, once the addiction starts, as I said earlier, it's kind of an illness, and they become dependent on it, and maybe, you know, there's not enough oversight, and they just continue doing it, and they find different systems and ways to secure the medications, and to the point where they're so addicted to it that they do become a potential danger to the patient care, you know, not being on top of their, you know, their skill sets. So that's why the state is interested, in making sure that this type of addiction issue is pretty much nipped in the bud as soon as possible.
And then when we talk about people not being at the top of their skill set, do you find that cases where these problems arise, the individuals who were abusing narcotics didn't intend to or didn't realize that they might have been outside of their top of their game?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I have had cases where, those are more serious cases, obviously, but where there's significant malpractice occurring, so patient's care has been significantly affected adversely because of a nurse maybe not attending to a particular red flag as soon as possible, or basically not being as available as they need to be because they're dealing with some other issues that are not as significant. Yeah, I've had several, in fact, many cases where the ultimate danger to the patient was a result of an impairment issue, whether it's the nurse or a doctor, for that matter. And, that is a serious problem.
Well, now, when it's a problem, I mean, most of the people are aware that they're doing something improper.
Correct, yes. Nurses, and believe me, I love nurses. I think they're underappreciated. They work hard, but basically sometimes they just they're so stressed out that they have to use medications, that illicit medication, that they don't realize that maybe they are doing something wrong, and until it actually happens, and then it's too late to reverse the problem.
Let's assume that someone knows that they have a problem. Someone says, maybe you should ask for some help. The nurse is thinking, well, I can nip this in the bud. If I were to go and ask for help and get treatment, I might be, I'm afraid of losing my license. I'm afraid of, losing my career. I will just keep this to myself. And that's something that attorneys as well, and a lot of different professions, people are so adverse to going and reporting or asking for help because it's almost as if they are waving the white flag of surrender. So what's your message to someone who says, have a problem?
Yeah, it's a great question, Nick. It's a very sensitive point. I mean, for nurses as well as all the professionals who are regulated by state agencies across the country. So the point is, okay, they could hide it as long as possible. At some point in time, something's going to happen that somebody's going to see it, and it's going to create an issue. Now, the Illinois statute, and I think most statutes across the country, require nurses and other medical and healthcare professionals to report on other professionals that they believe might have an addiction problem. So at some point in time, whether it's, if you're not dealing with it, someone else is going to notice that you're acting unusual or doing something wrong or medication seems to be missing. They're gonna report it, and they have to. They're obligated to do so. Nurses in management positions are statutorily required to report that. If they don't, they get in trouble. So, again, eventually it's going to come to light. So, getting back to the initial premise, a nurse has a problem, and if they're able to deal with it, they should, and they should get themselves into a program. And there's, very, very good programs in every state in this country and most large cities. So they should get themselves in the program, get the help, and basically what that does is it gets them off, it does demonstrate if they are found later, if it's found out later, most state agencies and nursing boards will give them substantial credit for taking the initiative to get help. And what they typically do in Illinois, they have something called a care and counseling agreement where the state will put the nurse into a non-reportable kind of an agreement. It's an agreement between the impaired nurse and the state that as long as they continue to follow the protocol set forth by the program, the addiction program, this will not become a discipline, and it's not even reported to any entity. So it's basically a private contract between the individual and the state. Now, on the other hand, if the state discovers it through another source, and that could be your employer or fellow nurse or patient, and they open up an investigation, they typically take that option off the table. They're going, well, we don't think you've ever recognized it on your own. You've not dealt with it, so we need to do it. And what that does is create some type of a discipline. It could be a reprimand if you then, after they discover, you go into a program and they still notice there's an initiative, but you have to be prompted by the discovery of your addiction, or, you know, you kind of refuse to admit it all along and they have enough evidence to prove their case, there's a potential to suspend or revoke your license. So the ramifications are pretty severe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that answer your question, Nick?
It does. And circling back to the person who volunteered to go into a program and do it on their own, did they have that? And you know, you mentioned that could that lead up to that agreement, but a non-reportable agreement? Is that person who voluntarily
Illinois, I know your question, Nick. So Illinois does not specifically require an addicted nurse to report on herself, but she but being addicted is a violation of the act. So it's kind of a catch 22. If you have an addiction, you are in fact violating the act. A nurse being addicted and going to work under an addiction while addicted or impaired in any way is a violation of the act. So it's kind of a catch 22, but as I said earlier, the nurse board is sympathetic to someone who has identified herself as having a problem, puts herself through a program, and, you know, that pretty much maintains its confidentiality unless somebody else reports it. And if somebody else reports it, then at least you've taken the self-initiative to get yourself help, and they do take that in consideration.
Well, and for that person who's thinking, you know, maybe I might have a problem, but I don't know that I'm necessarily addicted or an addict yet. It's kind of similar to, you know, when we look at alcoholism, for example, and, you know, that's also something, you know, when we're talking about drugs here, you know, alcohol is a drug as well.
That's correct.
You know, people wonder at what point are they an alcoholic in some treatment programs, they say someone who has one beer every night, for example, is addicted and is an alcoholic versus, you know, so I guess there's a bit of a subjective approach there. There's no real bright line test impaired. That's another, using an impaired is another situation. But, you know, I guess for that nurse who, you know, believes that, you know, maybe they're taking too many pain meds and they should slow it down and try to get some help to make sure they don't become addicted. Might be, some people
that's
may look at
very,
it that way as well.
Very good point, Nick. I'm glad you brought that up because you're right. I may not know whether I am technically impaired or not. And so that's why you get yourself to help. And then as long as you're in the program and they're helping you, it's technically not a violation yet. Now, the other thing that happens often is the diversion of drugs in the hospital setting or nursing home setting where the nurse has access to extra drugs and, you know, basically diverts it for self-use. That in itself is a violation, and, you know, you could be suspended for that.
Well, so self-use or sale, too. I mean, that's, you know,
well,
at some point, you know.
Of course. That's criminal if you're diverting for sale. I mean, that ends up being a criminal matter as well. Sure. So there's a lot of nuances to these cases, but, you know, most nurses that get help early on, and again, people get addicted because there's various reasons, and you know, some of them, can be prevented. Some of them, unfortunately, happen anyway because of personal problems. It could even be family life things. But, you know, just like any other addiction, things happen. And as long as they can get help as early as possible and get them on the right track, it'll be a significant benefit to them, both personally, for their life, and as well as their professional licensure.
Exactly. Let's focus and shift gears a little bit and focus on the hospital administrators whose duty it is to make sure that their hospital is running appropriately and that their nurses are not violated of any laws, you know, or having addiction or abuse problems. So to the extent that the hospital administration, I'm sure they have policies and so on and so forth, but what can they do if they get notice or actual knowledge of an...
Okay, so I would suggest this. If it's one of the larger entities, fair-minded entities, that a nurse comes into them, to the personnel department, and says, look, I think I might have an addiction problem. I may need help. Some of these entities do have their own recommended programs, and as long as they enter these programs, the employer is willing to work with them, especially if they're a valuable employee, been with them for a while, and you know they're basically very good employees. They'll go out of their way to program, and that is not reportable, by the way. That there's an exception to the rule in the Illinois statute that if someone self-reports themselves to the employer, and the employer has a program to that effect, the employer does not need to report that. Okay. If the employer discovers it and, you know, basically says you need to get into a program right away, and the employee says I don't have a problem or doesn't want to or just basically refuses or is terminated or leaves, the employer then is required to report that to the state. Okay, so there's different nuances there as well. But, you know, in any case, it's imperative that the nurse gets help as soon as possible for many reasons. I mean, again, if they come to the employer really can work with them and not necessarily have to report them to the state. And so that's why when I made that analogy earlier that a nurse who puts herself in a program independent of the employer, in essence, is doing the same thing that the statute wanted to create as an exception. So that's why I think the nursing board and their attorneys look at it, okay, you know what? The statute made an exception for an employer who has a program and they come in, the nurse goes in voluntarily, and if one doesn't have that program and they do it on their own, why shouldn't that be the same as an exception that was created in the statute? So I don't know if that helps at all, but that's, you know, those are the little nuances when you are confronted with the state board and they bring you in on this, if they do.
Well, and I'm glad you brought it up because it's something and that's where the reason we do these programs, because not everyone would intuitively know that exists or that option would be out there. And going and you know, shifting gears and again to the next level up, besides the hospital administration, we have the state and the state boards who license our professionals. The state boards have the state has an interest in protecting Illinois consumers of healthcare services from individuals who are, you know, potentially causing a problem with service and with drug addiction and whatnot. So, to the extent a nurse may receive an inquiry from the state, can we just talk a little bit about some of the forms of these inquiries and what options are available and what point they are talking to you on your phone?
Sure. So let's start with an example. Nurse gets an inquiry from the state of Illinois or any state, an investigator calls or wants to meet with them pursuant to somebody making a complaint or sending in a information that the nurse may be impaired and working while impaired or has a problem. So they will open up an investigation. The nurse will be confident. They'll come and interview the person, you know, the nurse herself or himself, and based on that and other interviews that they will also do, you know, they'll interview the employer and they'll interview, if they know who the complainant is, they'll interview that person and then put together a package for review by the nursing board and his or her and their attorney. And so at that point, if they suspect there is a problem, and, you know, more times than not, if this complaint came in, there is, they will call the nurse in for a meeting with the nursing board to discuss it further. And at that point, you know, the statute is pretty much set forth what can occur here, but in essence, at this point, they, you know, they'll make some recommendations based on this interview, either to force the nurse. In fact, they have an obligation under the statute if they believe that there is an addiction or there's an addiction problem and it's related to the practice, to get an evaluation done. So that's another reason why if you took the self-initiative to do it on your own before, you've already kind of eliminated that need or concern by the board, and especially if you're in a program and doing very well with it, that helps a lot. But let's say you have not, and that to this point you just haven't dealt with reality that you do have an addiction problem, and they determine that you need to be evaluated and an addiction problem is discovered, you know, they're going to probably put you on a probation. And if there are more serious factors involved, like the medication was diverted from a patient or, you know, actual patient harm has occurred or anything more serious occurred, there's certainly the potential of losing your license.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't get, if the matter doesn't get resolved at this level, most states have a administrative law process where you can seek a review by an administrative law judge or the courts, and then it becomes even more serious and more expensive. So now they'll present the case to an administrative law judge where, you know, again, a final decision will be rendered through individual process that each state has, and at that point, you know, they'll probably suspend or revoke your license, because if they've gone that far with it, it's probably pretty serious.
Well, and being proactive in dealing with these things, especially if it's, we got multiple state concerns, is important. You know, to take the example of the nurse who maybe is working in Illinois, who is a native of Indiana, went to school in Indiana, has a license in Indiana as well as in Illinois, and there's a complaint or an issue in Illinois, they might have a problem in Indiana as well. So again, another reason to talk to a professional licensing consultant, right?
Sure. And, you know, I'll give you an actual example. I represented, this is an extreme example, but I did have this case. A nurse who was working for a workers' comp carrier was an evaluator for the company and was licensed in 30 different states, and ended up having an issue in Illinois, which then, because of the nature of the case, ended up in a reprimand. But that reprimand was then picked up by the National Practitioners Data Bank, which, you know, we could talk about another time, but basically it's a national data collector of disciplines from all the states, and it gets reported to all the other state agencies and state entities that license professionals. And so now she had to respond to 30 different states because they picked up on this discipline and wanted to know more about it. Some of them basically reprimanded her again because they said that our statute requires us to reprimand you in our state because you were reprimanded in another state. Some of them closed it outright, and some of them opened up a more serious investigation. So, yeah, it has some serious potential ramifications.
Wow.
And I worked on that for years because there were so many states, and ultimately it worked out okay. I mean, she ended up pretty much just getting two or three reprimands and everything. Everyone else basically closed it. But she had to deal with it for a long period of time, and very unfortunate situation because, you know, it was relatively not that serious, but Illinois thought it was enough for her to be reprimanded. So that
right.
Kind of is an extreme example where, you know, having a discipline in one state can affect your license in other states, and you know, then it takes another level too, because at that point when you're going for employment or you're trying to find other types of work in your field, this always comes up because you've now, you know, have to disclose you've had a discipline, and that discipline becomes part of your history forever. So it is quite serious. So I guess the bottom line is, you know, be proactive if you do find yourself an addiction with an addiction problem, or know someone who has an addiction problem, try to help them as soon as possible, help them
get
to the right people, get to the right, addictionologist or program, get the right attorney that knows what they're doing, get them help as soon as possible, because that'll be their best course to avoid a future discipline.
Very well, good summation, very, very good wrap up. Like I was just going to say, if you think you got a problem, own it. Take it head on, deal with it now, because if you don't, someone else might have to deal with it later, and it's not going to be as fun. Mike, I want to thank you for your time. I want to ask you to give some contact information for anyone who wants to follow up with you.
Sure, sir. So my phone number is 773 area code 631-4580. I also have a website that you indicated earlier at favialawfirm.com. And my email address, if you wanted to contact me via email, is favia.com. Yeah, I'm sorry, that's my email address. So favia.com is my – favia, I'm sorry, at lawyer.com. I'm missing the word in there. Favia at lawyer.com is my email address. So thanks for your
All
time,
right.
Nick.
Excellent, and a pleasure as always, and we'll be back next month. So in the meantime, please do be kind. Those of you who find these programs on LinkedIn or Facebook, Twitter, and social media generally, please share the links to these programs, because we want to get this information out to the people who work in the industry and can learn from these programs. I mean, you never know who might listen to a podcast like this and the light bulb goes off of their head and they save their career. So this stuff is serious, and that's why we do these programs. Mike, thank you again for your time. We'll be back next month. Have a good
day,
everyone.
Bye-bye.